Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. I want to say that Wednesday, I want you to pray. Wednesday night, there was a lot of people I got to minister to. You know, I've witnessed people and I've been praying. And I've been asking God, Lord, please put people in my path that I can tell about Jesus. And even before the funeral service, I got to talk to quite a few people and tell them about Jesus. And I had a few people told me that they had already accepted Christ. I had some people said, I don't want to talk about it. And, well, I want you to know that these people need prayer. They really do. But I also want you to know that the Spirit moved in a mighty way Wednesday night in that service. I prayed on the way over, and it's hard when you don't know somebody to preach their funeral, really. But it's easy to preach a salvation message, which comes so easy for me. But I was praying, and I said, Lord, you just speak through me. And God spoke. I believe God spoke very, very clearly, and I'm thankful. So please be praying for these people, that they will get saved. There are so many people, and Harold Lee will agree with me, there's a lot of people in that family and friends that need Jesus Christ. And that's what really brings me to today's message. So I'm going to use scripture that I used Wednesday night. I mean, I've prayed this week, and I tell you what, I don't know where God's wanting to go with this today, but I think this is going to be one of them good sermons, because only thing I know the Lord spoke to me was, I want you to preach on choices. So I sent Laura yesterday the scripture and the title of the message. And I haven't studied for the message. I've read the Word, studied the scripture. But I believe God's going to really speak to our hearts today. So in your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, starting verse 19. And we'll be going through to verse 26 today. And those of you that can, please stand as I read from God's Word. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 26. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day. But a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, was lying at his gate. He longed to be filled with what fell from the rich man's table, but instead the dogs would come and lick his sores. One day the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off, with Lazarus at his side. Father Abraham, he called out, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this flame. Son, Abraham said, remember that during your life you received your good things, just as Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here while you are in agony. Besides all this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot. Neither can those from there cross over to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today, God, we pray that you will speak to us from your Word, Lord. And God, we do have choices to make in this life. Father, help us to make the right choices. But God, there's one ultimate choice we must make while we are on this earth. And Father, I pray today that if there are those within the sound of my voice that need Jesus Christ, the Lord, they will be saved today. Father, speak through me. Let nothing come from my flesh or from my own words or ideas or anything, Lord, and we ask it in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, our lives, they are filled with a lot of choices. And God has given all of us a free will to make those choices. Now, you've got choices as to the kind of clothing you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, when you're going to go to bed, where you're going to take a vacation, if you're going to go to church or not, if you're going to read the Bible or not. Whatever you do, life has got many choices. And what I want to reflect on today is I believe I haven't preached enough salvation from the pulpit in a while. And that's kind of been on me, on heavy on my heart lately. There's a lot of good messages that God could give me that's got to be preached from the pulpit. But the greatest message that could ever be preached is salvation. And what I want to talk about on the choices today is we've got a choice. Now, I read in the Scripture to you that there was the rich man and there was Lazarus. The rich man had everything. He had money. He had food. And you know, there's a lot of people in the world today who go after those sort of things. Life to them is about having a big house. They want to be known in the community. They want to be a part of every living thing that's going on. They want their family dressed in the finest of clothing, because basically they're building up for themselves a treasure that's on this earth. And we know what the Bible says about that. The Bible says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves will break in and steal. Because if you know this, and you should know, that the things of this earth are temporary. This earth is not going to last. So whatever you're trying to build upon this earth, whatever empires we're trying to create, we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves, and we need to be saying, it's time for me to stop giving so much time and attention to these sort of trivial things that don't really matter. So this rich man had everything. And his mindset was, I can live every day. I can go where I want to go. And I don't have to worry about nothing. Now, there's another rich man in the Bible that's talked about that his barns were filled with plenty. And that rich man said, well, take thine ease. Eat, drink, be merry. Just basically live life to its fullest. And the Lord said, thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. What you have your eyes on, what you go after, is what your life will be patterned by. If you go through life like the rich man, and if you seek the things of the world, then that's all that's going to be a testimony to your life. Now, Lazarus, the Bible says Lazarus was a beggar, and he had sores all over his body. I mean, could you imagine the dogs coming up and licking the sores on his body? And basically, he was eating the scraps from the rich man's table. Well, Lazarus had nothing. He, in our eyes, we would look at him and think, man, that guy's pitiful. He's poor. He's got the worst of everything. I would never want to be in that kind of a situation. But if you look at the external circumstances, is what we look at a lot of times. We look at the external, but God looks at what's in the heart. And Lazarus, I believe, it doesn't say it in the Scripture, but if he went to be in comfort in Abraham's bosom, then we know that Lazarus was a poor man but trusted God. So even though he was poor in the material way, within his heart, he was very rich because he chose to believe in the Lord God. I believe that Lazarus was the kind of man who believed upon God, who believed upon God's word, and lived a good life. And even though he suffered in the physical, he was building the right kind of treasure for himself, which is, you know, the Bible says that we should be storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. See, everything with God is eternal. God is eternal. God is love. And if God's kingdom is eternal, then the choices that we're making should be pretty easy and obvious as human beings. If the earth is going to pass away and everything's going to be gone, because see, at the end of it all, God's going to destroy this the earth. And the Bible says there was a new heaven. John said there's a new heaven and a new earth. So we need to start reaching out to what's eternal. We know that the Bible says that there was a man who built his house upon the sand, and when the waters came and the rain came against it, well, it didn't stand because it didn't have a good firm foundation. So in the same way, if we choose to live in the world, if we choose to live for the things of the flesh, we know that building that kind of a house, it's going to be destroyed one day. Now, in our making choices, though, we see that Lazarus, when he died, he went to heaven. He went to be with Abraham. The rich man died and went to hell. And Scripture tells us that the rich man was in torment. And he basically said to Abraham, please let Lazarus dip his finger into the water and touch my tongue because I'm in torment in this flame. And Abraham said, well, you know, that can't happen. He said, you had every good thing while you lived, and now you've got your just reward. And Lazarus, who had nothing, now he's got everything. So our life every day should be the choice made to follow after God, to give our hearts and lives to the Lord. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth upon him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the choice number one I want to talk about this morning, giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Now, there are those of us gathered in the church house, and you know what? We might be sitting here today thinking, well, everybody here is a Christian. We're all at church. But you know what? I started thinking about this after I preached the funeral Wednesday night as I was driving home. Just because you're sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't. What I want to direct at you this morning is I want you to examine your heart. Don't examine your neighbor's heart. Don't go by what they do or say or how they live their life. Let's look at our heart. And can you say this morning, I am a Christian. I am going to heaven when I die. If you cannot, then there's a choice you need to make today. Because you can see that the rich man being in hell, he had no way out. And Abraham told him, there's a great chasm in between us, and you can't go from here to there, and Lazarus can't go from where he's at to you. There's a great gulf. So guess what? Once you die, you end up where you are. And that's for eternity. And I'm going to say like I did Wednesday night, I won't sugarcoat this message either. I have to give the truth of it. Your life in Jesus Christ is what will get you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, which is why he died on the cross. And you know what, friends? I believe it is near time that we as people get serious about Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior and living our lives like he's within our heart. I really do believe that. We are getting to a time with what's going on over in Israel right now We are going to see the return of Jesus Christ. We don't know the day or the hour, but it's coming. We have a choice to make. Jesus is gently knocking upon our heart's door, and He wants to come in, and He wants to have fellowship with people because He loves us that much. Why would He leave the glories of heaven and die on a cross and take our sin upon Himself if He didn't love us, if He didn't want us to be with Him for all of eternity? So that is a choice that we have to make. Look at your life. Where is it at? Are you serving God? You know what? If you can't answer that, yeah, I'm going to heaven if I die, or Jesus comes back right now, then I would be getting to the altar this morning and getting saved. I wouldn't wait. Because once you die, or once Jesus comes back and you're off the face of this earth, where we end up, that's where we are. Now, I've heard these stories before where people said they died and went to hell and then came back. I don't know about that. Well, I had a near-death experience. No, you die. That's it. It's over. It's done. But what did you do with your life? Now, I talked about something Wednesday night in that sermon. And I've told you I'm going to preach this sometime, and here it comes. You go out to the cemetery, and you'll see a grave, and there's a date of birth, and there's a date of death on it. Now, those numbers they're significant because they meant somebody was born and then somebody died. What matters is that dash. What was your life? That's what that dash represents, is your life. What was your life like? What was your life? What did people see? What did people hear? What did people witness out of us? Was that dash a reflection of our life rooted in Jesus Christ and His service? Were we witnesses? Did we make an impact in our church? Did we make an impact on our family? Did we make an impact on our co-workers or the people that were out around in the public? Did we make that kind of an impact? Does that dash represent something good about us or something bad? Does that dash represent the fact that we follow the ways of the world? And boy, I see a lot of people going that way right now. Well, I don't want to go to church. It just ain't for me. Well, I'm sorry, you're missing out on one of the greatest blessings, being in church. Well, that church doesn't have a praise band. So what? Well, I remember preaching in a church, and I think I told you the story that this interim pastor and his wife, well, they didn't like the fact that I let a same-sex couple stay at church. So he walked in out the door and he said, well, I'm taking my wife. He said, she's your only piano player and you ain't going to have no music. And I said, so be it. We'll sing Acapulco style or acapella. I said, we'll sing acapella. But I said, you know what? I believe that the Lord will take care of sending us a piano player. Sunday night rolled around. That very same night, I'm standing at the front door and there's people coming through and I'm shaking hands. And this woman come in that I hadn't seen before, and her husband come in, kids, and they told me their names. And I said, well, it is so good to meet you. Glad you're here. And she says, by the way, I want to ask a question. And I'd been praying all day, Lord, you send us a piano player at the right time. Well, that night she said, do you need a piano player, by the way? She says, because I played piano for a lot of years. And she said, I would love to serve. And she said, you don't have to pay me to be the piano player or nothing. She goes, I want to be a piano player. And she did. Lynette came into the church. So see, what the dash represents, what is your life like? What does it represent? I hope that the dash in my life, I hope people could look at me and say, boy, he did love people because he served, because he witnessed, because it was the Lord working in him. I don't ever want anybody to look at me and say, boy, he's a great guy. I'm not. You know what I want people to say? I want people to say, God was great through him. See, all I am is as I'm an instrument and I'm a tool being used by the Lord. And that's what I want. I want God to have His way in my life. Am I perfect? No. Do I fail? Oh, do I ever. I was telling Jean this morning, I said, Janine has told me before I'm going to have a footprint on my backside at some point if I don't behave, you know. But she's just, you know, she kids around like I do. But, you know, really, there's a little bit of orneriness in me. Amen, Harold. Harold knows that. Yeah. There's a little bit of orneriness in me, and that's all right. But really, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of it all, I hope people can say the Lord really worked through him. Because when I stand up here and preach, I want to preach the Word. When I have to go minister to a family, I want them to experience Jesus and not me. I don't want to walk into a church and people go, oh, there's Brother Jim, oh, you know, be all excited. I don't want that. I don't want that at all. You know, when I've left churches, I've had people say, I hope you realize that you're making the wrong move by leaving here because it ain't going to be the same no more. You know, we're going to have to find us another pastor now, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, get your eyes off of me. Get your eyes off of me, and you need to be praying and asking the Lord for when your next pastor comes along. So don't I want the dash of my life to represent Jesus. That everything in my life was about Him. That's what I want it to be. And you know, I've told my wife asked me one day, she goes, why do you say you love me all the time? I said, because I want you to know. If I was to die, if I left the house right now to go do even a small chore duty or just even go out in the yard, if I didn't tell you I loved you, you know, and I died, I mean, you know, I want her to know. So I tell her that. But I also want people, I just want people to know what my life was like. So my choice every morning, my choice is, you know, I could get up be in a bad mood or a good mood. I choose to be in a good mood. My choice, I could, you know, it's a cloudy, yucky day. It's cold out, rainy, nasty, blah, whatever. I could be in a bad mood. I could just serve the devil and just let him walk all over me. Or my other choice is I can say, thank you, Lord, for this day. You have given me so much, Father, that I'm going to live for you. I don't care what anybody else says. I will rejoice and I will praise you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, was David's writing. I'm going to rejoice. So there's your choices. You know, like I said, God gave us the free will. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to make the choice today. Today is the day of salvation. I've talked to people who have said, I'm going to wait. I'm not ready yet. I'm like, what? Do you know what you're saying? Do you realize, you know, death is not a respecter of persons by age or anything or by gender. When somebody passes, they're gone. That's it. And they will stand before God. And if that person wasn't ready, then they'll spend an eternity in hell. We're the ones who make the choice where we go. I always say it's like going into a restaurant and they say, you want smoking or non? Well, I want the non-smoking section. And that's about my life. I want to be in heaven, non-smoking. I want to be in heaven for all of eternity. I want to live in God's heavenly kingdom. I want to live in joy and in peace. But also, while I'm here on the face of this earth, I want to live for Him because I'm going to go through some dark, deep times and there's going to be trials and tribulations. But I can tell you this, I'm going to have experiences with death, whatever. But God is with me through it all. And while I'm here on the face of this earth, my choice is to rejoice and be happy because He is with me. Jesus says that I am a friend that sticks closer than any brother. And Jesus also said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Now, I'll tell you what, those words right there, I mean, that makes me a believer right there. I believe what the Lord says. So, when you go back here and look at the life of Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus, Lazarus is in the kingdom of God. And that rich man, he's in hell. And at the great white throne judgment, he'll be brought up and he'll be judged by God and cast into a lake of fire. And the other thing I want to mention, for those of us that are Christians, we've got family members. There's people we know that don't know Jesus. And we need to start making a choice to be a witness to them. And you might say, well, I don't know how to tell someone about Jesus. Okay, it doesn't come from within you to witness. It doesn't come from within you. It comes from God. If you will say, Lord, I've got people in my family I need to witness to. See, we're all called to be fishers of men, not just pastors and deacons and whatever else in the church, music ministers, anything like that, or missionaries. It's all of us. So say, Lord, there's people I know that don't know Jesus, and I just pray, God, that You will speak through me, that, Lord, You will give me the words to say, that, Lord, You will help me to reach, even if it's that one person, Lord, today, help me to reach them. Help me to pray with people. Because I'll tell you what, when you start reaching out to God, God will touch you and He will put His Word upon your lips like a burning coal of fire. That's when I preach, Lord, put Your Word upon my lips as a burning coal of fire because I want to tell people about Jesus. I won't come up here and give you a seminary version of a sermon. You know, I hear these preachers get up here, man, they preach an eloquent sermon. They got their 4 points, wrap it up with a conclusion, and out the door we go. Well, that's great. I mean, you know, as long as they've done it in the Lord. But I want to give you the Word from God's holy book. I want to give you the Word. So, we do have choices to make, and the most important is choosing Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior and to follow Him. And then the other choices we have to make after that is making our life an example before others. People are looking, and you might say, well, that might work for some people. It doesn't work for me. Well, when we stand before God, we're going to find out that it sure means a whole lot. When I wrapped up the message Wednesday evening, there's a gentleman walk by, and he said, thank you for sharing that. He just kind of mouthed it low as he walked by. And all I could say was, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But there is coming the time that we will stand before God Almighty. What's that dash about your life going to say? And I want to say it again. Ask yourself, if I die right now, or if Jesus comes back right now, I'm going to heaven. If you can say that, that's wonderful. If you have doubts, if you're uncertain, there's an altar down here, and I'm here. There's other people here. I'd be glad to talk to you and pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, make Him your Lord and Savior today. And that other choice, it's time to be a witness. If you are a Christian, it's time to be a witness. It's time to show the love of Christ in your life. It's time to speak it in your words. It's time to let it out. Because there are so many people who don't know the way. And if we could show them the way, you know what? You know how much better this world would be if we would all just surrender to the Lord? It'd be so much better off. That's why we have all this fighting and violence going on right now. Everything and all the persecution and all the things, because the devil is being let in all over the place, and people are just letting it happen. But we as Christians, we have a firm foundation. His name is Jesus Christ. And if we build our house on that rock, when the winds come and the rains and the winds blow, our house will stand through any storm at any time. But our house has to have a good, firm foundation. What's your house built on? What kind of choices are you making today?